is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Gannon Baker, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years, and now with its integrated web platform, coaches have the ability to add video to plays and share them directly to their players' Android and iPhones via their mobile app. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. In addition to a great product, they also provide basketball coaching content and resources through their blog and Playbank. For access to these plays and more information, visit FastModelSports.com or follow them on Twitter at FastModel. This episode is brought to you by the Ready State Virtual Mobility Coach. Dr. Starrett is a movement and mobility coach for players in the NFL, MLB, NHL, and NBA, plus a doctor of physical therapy. Kelly has created a program called Virtual Mobility Coach. Every day, Virtual Mobility Coach gives you guided mobility videos. It walks you step by step through Kelly's proven techniques to relieve pain, improve range of motion, and improve performance. Try it completely free for 2 weeks, and if you decide to continue, you can get 10% off for life using promo code HOOPHEADS10. Visit thereadystate.com/hoopheads and use code HOOPHEADS10 at checkout. Again, that's thereadystate.com/hoopheads and use code HOOPHEADS10 when you sign up to get 10% off for the life of your membership after your 14-day free trial ends. Hello, and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinsing here tonight with my co-host Jason Sunkel. Jumping on to talk some NBA, we're going to start with a slightly somber remembrance of the passing of Kobe Bryant 1 year ago.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, Mike. Doesn't it seem like a lot longer than a year? Like, I know we've been through a lot, right? I mean,
I would say yes and no. I mean, I think it's just like anything in life. You can look at it and say, man, that felt like it was 10 years ago. And then on the other hand, if you just kind of flip your perspective, I could say, oh, that seemed like it was just yesterday, and I can't believe that Kobe Bryant's no longer with us. It's just, yeah. I think it's all in your perspective.
I can remember I was sitting in my classroom, and we were talking about – or no, it was Sunday. It was a Sunday. It wasn't my classroom. It was Sunday because there was a football game going on when it happened,
maybe,
right?
Maybe you don't remember it as well as you thought.
Well, no. It was Sunday because I was watching football because it was the championship games were going on when it happened because I just remember hearing about it, and like there was talks, oh well, the NFL postponed championship game, and like the NFL doesn't postpone for anything. Little did we know how big that really meant was going to happen. Even the NFL didn't postpone in a pandemic. But, you know, there was some talks about, like, I know NBA games still happened. A few can't, like the Lakers canceled their games and whatnot. But, yeah, I just remember I was because it was like 5 days after Ellie was born. So it was like nuts because Ellie had just come home. And, of course, my wife not being a big basketball person, I would be like, I was like, I can't believe Kobe Bryant died. And my wife was like, okay, like she didn't care. When it's just, I don't know how to explain it. But then when I was like, even my dad, who was not a Kobe fan, I know you and I have had this conversation, we weren't the hugest Kobe Bryant basketball fans. Like I think we could both say we respect his accomplishments and respect what he did for the game, but I wouldn't say that I was a Kobe Bryant, and like I was not a fanatic.
I agree with you
there. Yeah, so
yeah, I agree with you there.
So when I heard, like, I couldn't realize how impacted I was, and maybe it was because he was so young and things like that, but it's just crazy to believe that was a year ago.
Yeah, it hits me. I was at Swish 365 with my son, and our friend Herm was there.
Oh, Herm.
And so Herm, as I was working and doing some things with my son, and Herm yells over, "Hey, did you hear the news? Kobe Bryant died." And of course, your first reaction when you just hear it from somebody is, "Oh, that can't be true. It's totally, you know, that's made up. It's the, you know, you're
it's
lying."
Herm.
So yeah, exactly. So I go and I pick up my phone, and the first, all the tweets and things on social media were all from TMZ. So there was nobody, at least initially when I first picked up the phone, there was no, it wasn't coming from ESPN.
And I probably texted you. I probably texted you right away.
It wasn't coming from NBC News. It wasn't coming from CNN. It wasn't coming from any quote unquote credible news sources. It was only from TMZ. And then probably I would say within maybe 2 minutes of me having my phone in my hand, it came across from ESPN that he had passed away in the helicopter crash. And I think you summed it up best, is you kind of didn't know how to react to it, in terms of he's so young. And it's one of those things where I think anybody who, especially the athletes who pass away at a young age, you know, he's forever going to be the Kobe Bryant that we remember. He's never going to age into being 89-year-old Bill Russell hobbling out onto the court to pass out the NBA's MVP trophy. You're never going to see him in that light. You're always going to remember him as sort of the good-looking young basketball player. That's what's always going to stick with us. And I think that's something that, you know, you think about athletes who have passed away at a young age. I was just looking at Super 70 Sports tonight and saw Roberto Clemente passes away in the plane crash in 1970, going down to give humanitarian aid to Nicaragua. And, you know, again, he's forever frozen at that young age, and you never get to see him age. And then conversely, we lost another legend in the sports world this week, Hank Aaron. And that was one that you're probably a little bit too young to really have had much thought about.
Yeah,
Hank Aaron,
Hank,
as a baseball
player. I do not. I never saw him play. So,
and Hank Aaron retired, I think, when I was, I mean, I think he in 1976. So I was like 6 years old.
I was
so
negative 10.
Yeah. So it's not like I had a huge, you know, amount of time in my life where I was watching Hank Aaron play baseball. But my dad grew up in Milwaukee, and so Hank Aaron obviously started his career there, in the major leagues at least, in Milwaukee. And I know I've read various articles across time about Aaron and when he was approaching Babe Ruth's record, and just the amount of just racial hatred that was sent to him, and that he got the hate mail that he was sent, and just people saying, "Hey, you're never going to make it around the bases if you try to break his record, and I'm going to bring a gun into the stadium and shoot you," and just all the things that he had to put up with. And for whatever reason, that Hank Aaron death hit me kind of hard, just because, again, he was a player that I remember as a kid. And maybe I remember more just the idea of Hank Aaron than I do. I mean, I don't have any specific memories of him, watching him play or whatever, but just knowing of him and remembering him, and because of the connection with my dad, it just felt like, whew, that really hit me hard. And then with all the things that have gone on over the past year with social justice and everything, and what Hank Aaron stood for. And I read a couple articles that at one point, I think they said that he was receiving, as he was approaching Babe Ruth's record, he was receiving the most mail of any person in the United States while he was approaching Babe Ruth's record. And of course, I'm sure most of it was, unfortunately, directed at him in a negative way. And, you know, how dare a black man try to break the legendary Babe Ruth's record? And you just see, it's, you know, it's sad. Here's a guy who started, and I didn't realize this, he started in the Negro Leagues when he was like 17. And there was actually a photo of him in this article on The Ringer, of him getting on the train when he was like 17 years old in these giant baggy clothes that looked like it could have been from like the 1800s. And he's kind of standing in front of the train that he's about to jump on to go to his first team in the Negro Leagues. And it's just, again, when we talk about the passage of time, it's hard to see. And I don't want to call him a boyhood hero, because that's not really what he was. Because as I said, I didn't watch him play, and he was a little bit before my time, but still somebody that I remember from my childhood, and seeing him pass away, and just all his great accomplishments, and then doing that all in the face of the things that he had to do it in the face of, just made for, you know, I think by all accounts, Hank Aaron was just a tremendous human being as well as being a tremendous baseball player. And so when he passed away this week, and then you have the anniversary of Kobe passing away, you know, those things just, again, it's hard to wrap your head around people that have become part of your life through reading about them, from watching them, and then suddenly they're gone. It just is a good reminder for all of us that life just keeps moving. It doesn't wait for anybody. And you may think you have a lot of time, but time can be taken away from you really, really fast. And I think that's what hits me with Kobe. And obviously, as you said, I'm not sure that I would classify myself as a huge Kobe Bryant fan as a basketball player, but yet at the same time, I think the one thing that I always respected about him was there was no doubt that he was singularly focused on basketball, probably more so than maybe anybody in our lifetime.
He was definitely more focused than Jordan was.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jordan had a lot more, you know, you think about the gambling and you think about the things that he did off the floor and the card playing and just...
quarters.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And golf.
I mean,
and
yeah,
baseball.
Golf. Right, for sure. And Kobe was not like that. He was definitely much more singularly focused. And so I think that's one of the things that you always respected about him, was just the fact that he was going to get the most out of his ability. And I have that, I say that to people all the time, that when you look at the very best of the best, and I don't care if it's basketball or it's baseball or it's whatever, most of those people, and especially in basketball, those great players were given a lot of gifts. LeBron was given a lot of gifts. Kobe was given a lot of gifts. Jordan was given a lot of gifts. And then the very best like them took those gifts and maximized them to their greatest potential. And that's why they're the very best of the best. Other guys probably had gifts that were similar in terms of athleticism, but those guys just figured out a way to maximize it like nobody else.
Yeah, I completely agree. Did you see that Dallas announced that no one will ever wear the number 24 again in honor of him?
No, I did not see that.
So the Mavericks retired his number tonight or today. They said no one will ever wear 24 again in Dallas for him. So I thought that was kind of cool. Obviously, did it before the Lakers did it, right? They already did it. Right? The Lakers retired it. So, but
They had to retire both because, you know, he had 24 and he had 8.
Yeah. So the Mavericks announced that no one would ever wear 24 again. So,
which is interesting. I mean, again, I don't, you know, we can all have different opinions about where we rank Kobe, but we talked about it, I think, before on the podcast that Jordan's number is retired in. Do you know what city his number is retired in?
Isn't it Miami?
Miami, right? Yeah. So it's just kind of interesting that. I don't know where Kobe ranks, and I forget what we did when we did our all-time rankings. I think probably you and I both had him probably outside the top 10, I'm guessing.
I'm pretty sure I had him in the top 10, and I had Shaq in the top 10, and you wanted to, like, beat me up.
I think I had him maybe between 10 and 15, but I could be wrong. But anyway, I guess my point is that it's interesting that a franchise other than the one that he played for would have made the decision to retire his number as opposed to, again, somebody else who maybe would theoretically be ranked higher. Maybe they should have retired Tim Duncan's number.
Maybe.
In Dallas. Probably wouldn't go over too well.
Yeah, probably not. All right, anything else on Kobe, Mike?
No, I mean, just again, it's just a shame that a guy who had a whole bunch of, when he retired at least, a whole bunch of business interests and things that he wanted to do, and clearly the other people that passed away and his daughter and the potential that she had both as a human being and as a basketball player. You know, we were all, you know, robbed is maybe the wrong word, but we were all robbed of seeing an opportunity, getting an opportunity to see what he was going to be in his second act. And, you know, it's tragic whenever you see children lose their lives in such a way that they don't get to fulfill their potential either. So just, again, prayers up for Kobe Bryant and his family. And, you know, again, hopefully, you know, we're going to experience things like that probably again, because that's the way life is, but just, you know, fingers crossed that, you know, we don't have anything like that for a long, long time.
Yep. All right. Moving from Kobe to Shaq, Mike, I didn't prep you on this topic.
I was ready for this one. Shaq, I meant to send you this one.
Shaq versus Donovan Mitchell. Shaq basically telling Donovan Mitchell, you're not good enough to step it up and be better than you currently are. You aren't an all-star caliber player or blah, 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 blah. Basically just, and he's straight up telling him after the post. Did you see that? Did you see it?
Yeah, I did see it.
Straight
yeah,
up telling him, and Donovan Mitchell just saying, okay, whatever you say. Well, did you see what happened in Utah today, Mike?
I did not see what happened in Utah today.
Here, here so you go. In today's so really, sports are hilarious moment, the Utah House of Representatives decided to hear and vote on a resolution honoring Donovan Mitchell over Shaquille O'Neal, which also included naming Spida the official state arachnid and officially declaring Kazam a terrible movie. Your take on this news, Mike. This was voted on and passed by the Utah State Senate.
You didn't read this on The Onion, did you?
No, this is on Deadspin, but it is an official thing because I did not believe it when I saw it at 4 o'clock today.
This seems like one of those things where they give you four scenarios and you have to pick out the one that's false. And this seems like it's just wacky enough to be true and just dumb enough
here,
to be false.
Here, let me read you. I could read you the resolution, Mike. Would
no,
you like
to? No, it's good, man. I do not need to hear the resolution. All right, so are you looking for my comment on the... The legislature actually wasting.
Can I read the one line though? Can I read the one line from it? This is hilarious.
Sure, go ahead.
Whereas the claim by Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq, on January 21st, 2021, the Utah star All-Star Donovan Mitchell doesn't have what it takes to get to the next level is even less accurate than his 50.4% playoff free throw percentage, slightly worse than Donovan's 88.1%.
Well, okay. Let's put it this way: if you want to start to denigrate Shaq's career and compare Shaq's career to Donovan Mitchell's, I'm sorry, Donovan Mitchell is going to come up at this point. He's going to come up a little bit short of Shaq in terms of accomplishments. Now, he may be a better free throw shooter, but I don't think that necessarily qualifies him to be considered a better player all time than Shaq. I think the question is, so first of all, the resolution.
That's pretty funny.
I mean, it's funny. I hope they did say
at the end, be it further resolved that the House of Representatives also recognized the tremendous impact that Shaquille O'Neal has on his communities throughout the U.S. through generous donations of his time and resources. So they did put something nice in there, Mike. So I want to be clear.
Again, hopefully all that was tongue in cheek, which if it was, I guess, you know, it's fine. I mean, I have no problem with them doing it, I guess, but I think the bigger issue is the issue of what should Shaq, Charles Barkley, former players that are on air, what should they be allowed to say and not be allowed to say about current players, and when should they say it? So what I read and what I heard and a couple of different things that I listened to and read was when they talked about should they basically be ambushing players with these kinds of statements right after the player has just won a basketball game. So is that really a fair question or a fair statement to make to Donovan Mitchell at that moment when he's coming out for the post-game interview where he's expecting to be asked, hey, how'd this game go? And boy, you guys really played well and your defense stepped up and you had a nice game and scored some points. Instead, he's being hit with the fact of, hey, you don't have what it takes in order to get to the next level and lead your team to a championship. I don't really think that, to me, that's not the moment when those kinds of statements need to come out. Now, can they be, obviously, their studio show when you're talking about inside the NBA, tremendously popular, Shaq, Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, Ernie, all those guys have made that show tremendously entertaining by putting their opinions out there, right? I mean, that's what, if you get hired as somebody who's going to be on a pregame show, a halftime show, a color commentator, an analyst. If you don't have any opinions about guys, then why am I hiring you? Then you're just a bland talking head that's not really saying anything. So I have no problem with a former player criticizing a current player over something that they perceive as being a shortcoming.
It's just the timing of it. It's the timing of
correct.
It that you have a problem with. Got
I agree.
It.
Correct. I think you have every right to express your opinion, but I don't know that doing it in the post-game interview is the best time for you to be, quote, confronting a current player about their shortcomings.
You just finished a game. Like, seriously.
Yeah, it just does not seem like that's a fair – I mean, what's Donovan Mitchell going to say? How's he going to defend himself in that moment one, he's not in any way, shape, or form prepared for that type of question. And two, he just won a game. Why does he want to answer questions about whether or not he can get it done and lead the Jazz to an NBA championship, which he's not even going to have an opportunity to do for another 5 months? It just doesn't make – the timing of it to me doesn't make sense. I have no problem with Shaq saying that. I just don't think that a post-game interview is the best time to be able to share that with the player. It just doesn't seem like that's the time that you want to do it. Have a sit-down interview with the guy where you're really getting him in a situation where Donovan Mitchell could be thoughtful about responding to that question and why he thinks that he can take it to the next level. Or maybe he responds with, you're right now. I'm not good enough at this, and this is what I'm really working on to improve my game, or whatever it might be. But at the end of a game that he just won, where he's expecting basically a fluff question, for lack of a better way of saying it, to come at him with that particular opinion in that moment, to me, doesn't really do a service for Donovan Mitchell. It doesn't make Shaq look good. And I think from a viewing standpoint, I guess it generated lots of content for people to talk about. And it was somewhat compelling just to see Donovan Mitchell's face and hear Shaq continue to kind of go on and on about it. But I just don't think that's the appropriate venue for that type of opinion to be expressed.
I couldn't agree more, Mike. I think it was kind of like, I don't know a better way to say it. He's like, Mitchell was caught with, like, you're catching a guy with his pants down, essentially. Like, he just finished a basketball game, and he just got, they won the game, by the way. Just want to clear that up. They won the game, and Shaq just throws spears at him after the game is over. It was totally ridiculous, and I think it was totally, I don't know, totally uncalled for, in my opinion. So I completely agree with you. One thing that we can agree upon is how great our sponsors are. Here's a word from them.
Do you know where to hit the backboard for the highest percentage shots? Do you know when using the backboard is better than taking a direct shot? Be certain that you are taking the highest percentage shots by training with the Shoticle. The Shoticle mounts on your backboard to give you the location of the highest percentage shots. Train with the Shoticle and you will score more. Basketball is a data-driven game, so don't ignore the data and the facts. We worry about the data so you can focus on shooting. Visit Shoticle.com now and start scoring more.
All right, we're back. Really quickly, we want to talk about the Utah Jazz. I feel like we haven't given them their just due, Mike. They're 12-4, I think maybe even 13-4 now.
13-4 now. They won tonight, beat the Knicks.
They beat the Knicks tonight. Mike, this is the seventh game in a row, Mike, that they have had 15 three-pointers. Okay? They are three off the NBA record held by
Golden State Warriors.
No,
Cleveland Cavaliers.
Your former favorite team. Now not your favorite team because the one guy left. The Houston Rockets.
All right. Makes sense.
So they have a shot at breaking that. I mean, they're shooting lights out. They're playing really, really well. They're playing really good team ball. I think a very high potential sixth man of the year candidate, Jordan Clarkson. He loves to shoot, and he's playing really good off the bench for the Jazz. So I'll be we'll have to see what happens. What do you think about the Jazz so far, Mike?
The Jazz have looked really good, and I think that the biggest difference between the Jazz this year and the Jazz last year
is you didn't pick them. That's the reason. Yeah, you didn't pick them.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, this is the first year I've been kind of down on the Jazz. The last 2 years I've probably ranked them higher than maybe they deserve to be. I thought they really would have something. I thought Conley last year was going to be kind of that missing piece to their offense to kind of take some pressure off Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs, where he wouldn't have to create everything. And he proved he could create everything, I guess, against the Denver Nuggets, not enough to get them over the top in his battle against Jamal Murray. But certainly Mitchell took a step last year towards what Shaq says he's lacking. But I think that for the Jazz, it's really the difference has been Conley, and he's been close to what Memphis Mike Conley was. And when that's the case, it's making a big difference. So I'm looking at Conley's stats right now. He's averaging 16 a game, almost six assists, four rebounds, almost a 20 player efficiency rating. So he's back to, again, maybe not peak Mike Conley, but certainly good Mike Conley. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
And if Utah has good Mike Conley come playoff time and you have to remember too that Bogdanovich was out last year during the playoffs, who was a key component in what they did last year and is a key component to what they've been able to do so far this year. They also brought back Derek Favors to play those minutes behind Gobert, and Favors had a really good year last year with the Pelicans, especially defensively, and I think he's going to continue to provide that for the Jazz. You mentioned Jordan Clarkson, who's had, and I've never been the hugest fan of Jordan Clarkson.
What? No, Mike, come on. But we know who is a huge fan of Jordan Clarkson.
My daughter loves Jordan Clarkson. Loves him. Just like he loves to shoot, she loves Jordan Clarkson. But anyway, he's had a really good year, and he's been an important part.
He's averaging 17 points a game, Mike.
Yeah, look, he's been an important part of what they did. I don't think there's any doubt that if you give Jordan Clarkson minutes, he's going to find a way to get shots up, and he can score. I mean, there's no doubt he could score. And I think the thing with him is he's been, like tonight he had 4 assists. So he is, I think, toning down the bad parts of his game, which when he does that, and if you could just tap into the things that he does well and the scoring, then you've got a player that can be potentially productive. And that's what he's been to this point. So I think,
can I just say one more thing about him?
You have to ask Shaq. You have to say, can Donovan Mitchell be the best player on a championship team? And I guess as much as we kind of said, well, that wasn't the appropriate time for Shaq to say it, I do think Shaq was probably, at this point, I think Shaq's probably right. But
he's the second leading scorer of the Utah Jazz, Jordan Clarkson, by the way.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is.
He's loving to shoot, so congrats, Jordan Clarkson.
Utah has got themselves up above the scrum of those teams that I would consider to kind of all be in that class just below the Clippers and Lakers.
Well,
so
yeah.
you're talking the Denver, the Portland, those kinds of teams. They've sort of separated themselves a little bit, at least in the early going, from those teams.
Yeah, and the Clippers lost to the Hawks tonight. Obviously, you know, the Clippers had been on quite a roll. They hadn't lost since January 8th.
I still don't trust that team. Do you trust that team in any way, shape, or form?
I'll be honest with you. I trust them more than I did at the beginning of the season. But I don't know. When is Pandemic P going to rear his ugly head?
Okay, here's the question. Do you see them – are they going to make the conference finals? Are they going to play the Lakers in the conference finals?
I mean, I think it's too early to make that declaration, Mike. Could I see them there? I think so.
I see them getting beat before.
I think it depends on matchups. I think it's going to depend on matchups, because I think they're better. I think they're better than Denver. I think they're better than Portland right now, and I picked Portland.
I just don't trust that team. I just don't trust him.
Yeah.
Other than Kawhi, I don't trust Paul George at all. I just don't think. I don't know. I don't trust the Clippers, and especially one given the franchise's history, two given the history of the team last year collapsing. I don't trust them. So I'll be surprised if we get that LA versus LA series in the Western Conference. Unless we get it early, who knows? Maybe we get it in the second round.
Yep. I think this is an appropriate time, Mike, to talk about the other LA team, the Lakers. Last night, LeBron in Cleveland dropped 46 points. Did you know he's never scored 50 points in Cleveland? Did you know that stat?
You mean in Cleveland?
He's never scored 50 points as either
a visiting player or a home player.
He's never scored 50 points. And last night, like, they were brought it up, and they're like, he's never scored 50. And when he got to 42, he's never scored 50. And I was like thinking to myself, how is that possible? In all, like, I know he doesn't have a lot of 50 point games, like, you know, but still, it's kind of hard to believe, don't you think? Like, that he never scored 50 in Cleveland.
It is, and if you think that LeBron is going to score 50, you may want to check out Thrive Fantasy, which is a new world of fantasy sports gambling. You're going to select 10 prop bets, and these all have to do with the best players in the NBA, like LeBron. So you don't have to do a bunch of research on obscure players. You get to look at what these bets are, and each one carries a point total based on their likelihood of happening. And you pick your favorite 10. And then you use promo code HOOPHEADS when you sign up on Thrive Fantasy, and you will receive an instant deposit match of up to $50 on your first deposit of $20 or more. Just download the Thrive Fantasy app on the App Store or the Play Store, or by visiting their website, thrivefantasy.com, sign up and prop up today. And then you can put your money down on LeBron scoring 50 in Cleveland, which again, I'm kind of not surprised. I don't know. I don't know how many games I've gone to when LeBron was here, probably, I don't know, somewhere more than five, probably less than 10.
And you've only been to 10 games with LeBron?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think I've been to.
Wow, Mike.
I don't think I've been to any more than that. Maybe.
In our 2016 championship run, I went to more games in the playoffs than I did in your career. And ever.
Yeah, you might have. All right. So, but I guess my point is I don't feel like I ever saw a really good LeBron game. In all the games that I went to, I don't feel like I ever saw like one of those games.
It's a good thing you didn't go very often then.
The best game I think I've seen, the best game I saw during the LeBron era of the Cavs was I saw Kyrie just eviscerate Damian Lillard and score. I forget it. I think he might have had 55 and just totally dominated.
Well,
Kyrie has the
most points in a game in Cavalier history, right? I don't think LeBron does, right? It's Kyrie that has the most points in the Cavalier.
I don't think LeBron has that record. I don't think.
Yeah. So, talking about the Cavs, the Collins. I don't. Is there anything else you want to say about the Lakers? I think the Lakers are the best team in the NBA. Hands down,
are the best. They have the best roster. They're playing the best. I think we've talked a little bit about early MVP odds, and I think if the Lakers continue to play this well, I think the narrative and the fact that nobody else is really standing out in terms of statistically, or if they are standing out statistically, their team isn't necessarily doing well. I think honestly, as far as their actual play on the floor, I think Jokic is right near the top.
I think it's a three horse race, Mike.
Embiid, Jokic, and LeBron.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. Right now, I would agree. I would agree that those are the top three. The Nuggets are 10-7 now, so they're starting to turn it around a little bit. And if the Nuggets creep back up into the top four in the West, Jokic is going to be right there. If he averages a triple-double as a center, he's going to have a pretty compelling case. But I think if the Lakers stay at the top of the West and LeBron continues kind of at the pace that he is right now, I think LeBron wins the regular season.
Whether it's the legacy or anything, listen, Mike, I'm going to go on record and say, like, he deserved like two more MVPs that he didn't get, because I think people just kind of overblew like how good he was.
Well, there's always fatigue. There's voter fatigue for
this guy. Well, just like Giannis. Notice we're not even saying Giannis, and I mean, I don't really want to get into that discussion. We talk about it every week, but I really think LeBron is going to get it this year. And you know, I own the fact that I said Dame Lillard was going to get it, and I don't think Dame Lillard is going to get it at this point. But we'll have to see how that goes.
Needs to be a big turnaround in Portland at this point.
Yeah, for sure.
Although again, they're 9-7; they're not that far off. I mean, currently they're in the fifth. They're in the fifth seed out west. So
yeah,
they're not. It's not like they're number 12. They're right there in the thick of the seeding race. So, you know, one hot streak and they can be, you know, they can get right up to second or third pretty quickly.
Do you know who else is right there for us, Mike?
Our sponsors.
Hey, hoopheads. We all hate ankle sprains and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off.
All right, we're back to talk about the Cavs, Mike. I am thoroughly impressed. Last week, Mike, you predicted that we were going to win one of the Brooklyn Nets games. No way did I see us winning one, let alone two.
Yeah, I had us getting two out of three of those next three games.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, no, you didn't have us beating Boston, and you didn't have us beating the Lakers.
Didn't I say we were going to win two? I thought I said we were going to win two out of the next three. Who did we play before Brooklyn?
We didn't play anyone. We were supposed to play the Wizards last week. Okay. You said we were going to win.
I said we were going to win one of those two Brooklyn games. I thought I had us with another win.
No, you had us. You had us winning the next four now because we play. Because we play tomorrow. We play the Knicks. Then we play. I was unprepared for this. We play the Knicks, and then we play. Or we play Detroit, and then we play the Knicks, and then we play two games in Minnesota. And you had us going 5-3 over the 8-game stretch. Okay, I had us going 4-4. So I want to say I'm going to tell you right now, Mike. If we only win two more of these next four games, I'm going to be kind of sad. Detroit,
you gotta win,
the Knicks.
You got to win 3 out of 4 of these games. I mean, you should win all four. You should win all four.
And then we're listen to us talking about this with our the Cavs should win all four. Now, I will say this though, Larry Nance's injury plays a huge role here. I think understated. You know, I'm hoping that he's not out for an extended period of time here. You know, he's injured, right?
I do. He's maybe the most important player on their team. And I know Sexton has taken a leap and he's been tremendous. And Drummond has been really, really good.
Hey, he's getting most improved buzz, Mike.
Who is?
Sexton.
Well, I mean, he should. I think it depends
Simmons wants to bet him because he's like 17-1 right now.
Yeah, it just depends on how you define it. Because, again, if you look at what he did in the second half of the year before the league shut down in March for COVID, you look at him from January to March, and he was – not quite at the level that he is now, but he was putting up like 24 a game, 25 a game, and shooting it much better. And
he wasn't averaging four assists per game, Mike.
No, look, we've had our doubts on this podcast. You and I have talked about it before that I've said I don't know what his ultimate ceiling is. If you get the best version of Colin Sexton, I wasn't sure what that guy was. Was he kind of a microwave type guy off the bench on a really, really good team? Was he a starter? I couldn't really figure out what he was going to be. And I think if you see the version of Colin Sexton that is on the floor today for the Cleveland Cavaliers, he's a guy that you could definitely build around. Is he the best player on a championship team? Probably not. But could he be player two or player three?
Let me just put this out there, Mike. He's shooting 50.5% from the field. Most impressively though, Mike, do you know what he's shooting from three-point land?
I know he was over 50% for a while. I don't know if he still is.
No, he's at 46.2% from three, and he's shooting 4 threes a game. So it's not like he's just taking 1 or 2 threes a game. He's shooting.
And when he got here, he was basically a non-shooter from three.
100%. He's shooting 82% from the line, which is actually down from last year. But he's also going to the line 2 more times a game. So, I will tell you this much. He torched the Nets in that double overtime game, and I know we were recording an interview podcast when it was going on, and I'm sure you caught the highlights of it. But my God, was he good in that game. He was really, really, really good. And then he was – listen, last night I should have never sent you the tweet about he started the season the most games in a row scoring 20 points, and then last night he didn't score 20 points. I should have never sent the tweet to you. I'm going to take full responsibility, Colin Sexton. If you want to get mad, at Jay Sunkel, it's my fault. Because I can't believe LeBron didn't have more than 7 games to start a season at 20 points. Can you believe that?
It seems odd that it would never happen in all the times that – all the seasons that he played here. It just doesn't seem like that's possible. That seems a lot more improbable to me than the fact that he didn't score 50.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe it. When I read it, I was like, LeBron never scored more like 7 games to start a season, score 20 points. I mean, you know, maybe he had a 19-point game in there or an 18-point game in there or something, but that's just crazy to me.
I think the big thing with the Cavs that I'm most encouraged about is you're seeing signs from really four guys that are young and actually I would probably say 5 guys that – are clearly going to be guys that can be a part of your future. So we start with Sexton. Garland's been injured, but in the times when he's played...
But he's been back, though.
In the times that he's played, he looks better.
Yep.
He looks better. I can see flashes. Like last year, it was hard to even see flashes of what that guy could be. I think you're seeing flashes of what he can be this year.
Yep.
Then you go to Okoro, who on the defensive end of the floor... On the defensive end of the floor... he's already, I mean, he's one of the better wing defenders.
And I want to give him, like, yes, LeBron scored 46 last night, but LeBron would have scored 46 out on anyone last night.
There's no question. Okoro's already one of the better wing defenders in the league. Then you go to Jared Allen. So, look, Drummond's had a great year. I'm all for Drummond. Drummond is not at all old. When people think of him at all, this guy's been in the league forever. He's, I think, 28. Drummond's like 26. Yeah. Is he 28?
I think he's 28.
I thought he was even younger than that. But regardless, I'll let you look that up. But he's definitely a guy who...
He's 27 years old, Mike.
Yeah, see, okay, so we were in between, so let's split the difference. But anyway, so he's a guy who, if you want to keep him around and you can find him at, you know, you can do that at the right price at the end of the season, hey, why not? But if you let Drummond walk or you trade him, which obviously we know there's been all kinds of rumors floating around the internet of Kevin Love and JaVale McGee and Drummond and whatever. I hear all these guys mentioned in trades, but I hear nothing about what teams are going to give up to get any of those guys. So I'm kind of dubious that any of that has any traction at all. But regardless, Jared Allen is an important quality piece that you can build around. And then Larry Nance.
Do you know what Andre Drummond's nickname is, Mike, according to Basketball Reference?
Big D?
Big Penguin.
Big Penguin. All right. I don't know that's one that I would want to put on the back of my Daffy Dance t-shirt and walk around on. I don't think I'd want to do that. I think I would maybe pass on that nickname.
This is according to Basketball Reference, and they have never led me astray before, so.
Who's a famous drummer?
Ringo Starr?
What's the one armed guy from Def Leppard? What's his name?
I don't know Def Leppard at all.
They had a one armed drummer, so maybe, you know, you could, whatever that guy's name is, that could be Andre Drummond's nickname.
One armed drummer. I'm looking him up now, Mike.
All right,
Rick Allen.
All right, Rick Allen. There you go. That's not really a very exciting nickname either. So it's not much better than the Big Penguin.
I think so. The Cavs are obviously going to make another trade, right? They have to. Like, they're going to make another trade, right?
They don't have to.
But they are going to make another trade. I think JaVale McGee is the guy that's going to get traded. I said this on the Cavalier Central podcast, a part of the Hoopheads podcast network hosted by Justin Matcham. Cross promotion, Mike. You like it?
I like it.
I said that I think McGee is the odd man out now. Obviously, Porter got traded. And I don't know if you want to talk about that at all, but...
Well, let's finish this JaVale McGee, and then we can talk about Porter for 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think JaVale is the one that's going to get traded. The Nets seems like a common place that...
What does Brooklyn have, though, at this point? What are they going to give us for JaVale McGee?
DeAndre Jordan. I'm just kidding. I don't really want that. I don't know what they're going to... I don't know, Mike.
Because I've seen all that all over social media, all over Twitter, that... The Brooklyn Nets want to pursue JaVale McGee. That's great. Fantastic.
I have not seen one.
There was not one tweet that I saw that mentioned anything about what the Cavs could potentially get back from the Brooklyn Nets for JaVale McGee. And I guess that's the thing. When you look at, we've talked about the potential Drummond trade now for a couple weeks. And I just don't know what can you get back that's going to be more valuable to your team, especially this year. Like if you're trying to give yourself an opportunity to get into the playoffs or at least get into the play-in tournament, then why would you want to give Andre Drummond away? Like, if you can get something back that could potentially be part of
it. I don't want to give Andre Drummond away. I want to be clear here, Mike. I don't want him traded. I don't care. Unless we get something really, really good, I don't want to give him up.
I agree with you 100%.
I'm okay giving McGee up because he's not really, I mean, other than his great point guard moves that he's put on the last few games.
Sweet. The behind the leg dribble, that was sweet. I like that.
Did you see the one last night? Is that what you're talking about?
The one where he went full court and then dunked?
Oh, no. Last night he tried to do it again, and then and when he was doing it, he dribbled the ball off of the ball between his leg, and then he tried to pick the ball up, and he lost it. Luckily, it went off of a Laker and went out of bounds, but it was pretty funny.
There's been a lot less. JaVale has provided a lot less comedy in the latter stages of his career than he did at the beginning. Let's put it that way. So kudos to JaVale McGee. Yeah, I don't want to see Drummond traded because I think this team, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, that this team is now at a point where you don't want to continue to lose because you're just building losing habits with those young guys. So you want to continue to be able to give them an opportunity to win games. And look, if you can't get something good for Drummond prior to the trade deadline, and the alternative is you let him walk at the end of the year because you don't want to pay him, I'm totally fine with that.
Again, completely agree.
Unless you're going to get something really good that's going to help you long term when you're building around the young guys that you have. If you're not getting that kind of piece for Andre Drummond, which I don't know if you are or you aren't, but if you're not, then just let this play out at the end of the season. See what the market is for Andre Drummond. If you want to pay him, great. If you don't, then he walks and you got Jared Allen. So to me, the Cavs are in a perfect position to sort of let this ride with Drummond and just see how it plays out.
Yep, I completely agree. I don't want to give up Drummond, and we'll just have to see what happens with that. All right, Kevin Porter, Mike, here's my take. I don't know what soup he threw and what coach he threw it at. I'm just kidding. That was Damon Jones. I just don't think I don't think that they realized that it was not going to be a fit. He wasn't going to handle it. Now, I don't know why they gave his locker away. I know he wasn't with the team, but he can't react like that. He can't act like that. He can't act like a child. And I know he's kind of like a child, and he's got a track record for this. And, you know, I wish him nothing but the best because he's definitely talented. But obviously the Cavs just realized that it wasn't worth putting forth the effort anymore. They tried, and they just needed to move on. Your take, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's 100% right. I think you look at it and you can say they really went a season and a half with him. He clearly had some problems during this offseason and heading into this season with whatever those personal issues are that he's dealing with. And clearly he's a volatile guy based on some of the stories that have come out and with the reaction to the locker. I think the question becomes when you're talking about him and you're trying to weigh what you do if you're the Cavs, he's clearly a talented player. When he was right last year, when he was out on the floor, he did some things that really only high-level NBA guys can do at his size. And so the talent is tantalizing, and the talent, I'm sure, is what allowed him to, A, get drafted in the first round despite his issues, and then, B, what allowed him to stick around with the Cavs for a year and a half and allowed for the Houston Rockets to say, hey, we're going to take a chance on this guy. So you wish him nothing but the best, but at the same time, talent only takes you so far. When your head's not on right and you just can't seem to quite figure it out, he's a guy who I hope he doesn't turn around when he's 29 or 30 years old and he's out of the league and say, man, I wish I would have done things differently. I hope he figures it out for his sake, and I wish him nothing but the best. But I think from the Cavs standpoint, goes back to what we talked about a minute ago. If you're trying to build a winning culture and you have a guy who is detracting from that culture, then in a lot of cases it's addition by subtraction. I think that's how the Cavs looked at it.
Yep, I agree. All right. Last thing, I guess we have two more topics to talk about. The first thing, really quickly, we can't go without mentioning Steph Curry passing Reggie Miller all-time in three-pointers, doing it in a lot less games than Reggie. Obviously, I think that he's going to eventually catch Ray Allen if he can stay healthy. Would you agree with that statement? He's going to catch Ray Allen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how, with just the way the game has changed compared to when Reggie Miller and Ray Allen played, I mean, Steph just takes so many more threes than those guys ever took in games, and he's obviously just as prolific or just as accurate at a much higher, you know.
He's only 404 behind him, so he's definitely going to pass him.
It's just a matter of time unless he were to suffer some kind of catastrophic injury and that ended his career. I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to catch Ray Allen and probably push that record way, way out there. And I wouldn't say it's going to be pushed out to an unbreakable situation because just the way the game has changed.
Well, the guy right behind him is James Harden. So I don't know how many years James Harden has or if he's going to be as who's been in the league longer?
They're probably about the same, I would
guess. Yeah, yeah. So, and now
might have been the same draft. They might have come out in the same draft.
Yep. And cool. I mean,
let's put it this way. Any three-point record Steph's name is going to be right near the top of it. Let's put it that way. Right now and when he retires.
Would you know this, Mike? Would you know that LeBron's 14th all-time in three-pointers?
I mean, just from a longevity standpoint, and you think about, I wouldn't say it. Nobody would classify LeBron as a three-point shooter, but if you've watched enough LeBron basketball, which certainly you and I have, you know that he takes and shoots a lot of threes. So I guess I'm not that surprised, again, mostly because of his longevity and the era in which he, you know, he's played his last 10 years in an era where guys are just chucking lots of threes. And so it doesn't surprise me based on those two factors.
Man, there are some names on this list, Mike, for all-time three-pointers. Kyle Lowry is in the top 25. That's unbelievable. Wesley Matthews in 25th. Wesley Matthews, that's some guy I would never have expected that one.
Well, that's... No, but I'm sure, I mean, this current era has to just dominate that entire list. I mean, maybe there's a few guys.
So I'm looking at the top 25. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Only 9 are active, Mike.
Really?
Yeah, so the 9 active players in the top 25 are Steph Curry, James Harden, J.R. Smith, LeBron James, J.J. Redick, Damian Lillard. And J.R. Smith's not even active, so they still have him active because I guess he hasn't retired. Klay Thompson, Kyle Lowry, and Wes Matthews. Did you know Vince...
Who's in the top 10 that's not...
Ray Allen is 1.
Okay, all right.
Reggie Miller is 3. Kyle Korver is 4. Vince Carter is 6.
Again, longevity and... Again, nobody would classify him necessarily as a three-point shooter, but certainly he took his share of threes.
7 is Jason Terry. Okay. 8 is Jamal Crawford. 9, Paul Pierce. 10, Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd is in the top 10 all-time for threes?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Dirk Nowitzki finished 6 behind him in 11th, and Joe Johnson is 12th.
Think about that. That right there might be the best bar bet I've ever heard.
Jason Kidd being in the top 10?
Well, who had more three-pointers, Dirk or Jason Kidd? Is there anybody that would take Jason Kidd in that?
I mean, probably
Dirk
not.
Dirk played 20 years. And when I think of three-point shooting, I certainly don't think of Jason Kidd. I certainly would come to Dirk Nowitzki's name way before I would come to Jason Kidd's. I mean, I don't think of Kidd in the early part of his career when he was in New Jersey and Phoenix and Dallas. Like, I don't think of him as shooting three-pointers at all. I mean, I don't think of him taking threes ever.
But listen, some of these names in this top, even the top 30, Mike, of all-time three-pointers. Glenn Rice is 31. Eddie Jones is 32. Nick Van Exel is 35. Mike Bibby is 36. These are some crazy names to me. I don't know.
Well, those guys are just probably out of your era.
Well, I mean, they're all names I know. It's just crazy to me that they're like in the top 50 of any category, quite frankly. I don't know.
It feels like there would be more guys that are of the age of Steph Curry that have been in the league currently for 10 years, and just because of the way the game has changed, the number of threes that teams are shooting, that there would be more guys bumping those guys out.
I mean, even Kevin Love, Mike. Kevin Love is 67th all-time in three-point shooting.
Yeah, I mean, again, think about how many threes he's taken. I mean, when he was here, he's taken a lot.
Yep, but anyways, sorry, that was a tangent. All right.
That was a nice tangent.
Yeah, the last thing we want to talk about before we wrap up here, Mike.
I think we might need to hear from our sponsors.
Oh, yeah, go ahead and hear from our sponsors.
Hey, coaches, parents, and group leaders. I want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, SnapRaise. SnapRaise is the nation's largest digital donation platform built to help teams, youth groups, and clubs raise money quickly and efficiently without selling products. SnapRaise builds your group a customizable campaign website, and students use their mobile devices to connect and engage with their biggest fans. My son's high school team used SnapRaise this season, and our team raised all the money they needed to fund their season, and then some. Getting SnapRaise started is quick and free. Just visit SnapRaise.com, and you'll get connected to a local SnapRaise expert in no time.
The last thing we want to talk about, the dumpster fire, that is the New Orleans Pelicans and the Washington Wizards. I'm throwing the Wizards in there. You weren't prepped for that. But the Pelicans... a disaster, and they started off the season strong, and I was really encouraged but they've been terrible. The Wizards have been terrible, again losing tonight to Houston. John Wall embarrassing his former team. Your take on these two god-awful teams in the NBA.
All right, well, I'll start with the team that I was, semi-prepped for, which is the Pelicans. And they just, I don't even know what to make of this team in terms of what are they? What are they trying to do? There was rumors all over the internet today that they're shopping J.J. Redick and Lonzo, that those two guys might be on their way out the door. J.J. Redick's barely playing. Lonzo has been, he's been terrible. Let's just put it bluntly. Can't shoot it. Really hasn't been at his best defensively. I don't know what to make of this team. Brandon Ingram's been really, really good. Zion has been good, but certainly not incandescent. I mean, he's been a guy who, going into this year, people thought, well, if he's healthy, and we thought even going into last year, this guy's a top 10 player in the league. And at this point, you look at the Western Conference, and if you were voting today, I'm not sure Zion's even on the All-Star team. I know he's had a decent year. He's had a good year, maybe.
He's averaging 23 a game.
On the offensive end of the floor. But defensively, he's been abysmal. And that's got to get straightened out. And that's one of the things that I think we all thought that Stan Van Gundy was going to be able to do. And to this point, he just hasn't been able to do that. He hasn't been able to reach this team or push the right buttons to figure out what it's going to look like. And part of it is I just think that their mix of players, when you look at who they're playing lots of minutes with, so you have Zion, non-shooter, Bledsoe, non-shooter, Lonzo, non-shooter, Steven Adams, non-shooter. That's a lot of guys that are out there that can't space the floor. And so when you do that, it just becomes really, really difficult to score. And then they're just not playing well on the defensive end of the floor. Zion is nowhere to be found defensively. And he's going to have to step it up. I think that's – you look at him, you look at Trae Young, and you say these guys are transcendent offensive players, and yet defensively they're such liabilities. And it's scary to put Zion in that same category as Trae Young, but I think right now at this point that's kind of where he's at. He's just – it seems like he's disinterested on that end of the floor. And if I'm a Pelicans fan, that's a little bit disturbing when I start thinking about what this team ultimately can be with Zion and Brandon Ingram. It's almost like, do they need to have some pieces that fit better with Ingram and Williamson? And maybe that's why J.J. Redick and Lonzo are on the trading block.
Yep, I agree. They just look terrible. They look terrible in general, and the Wizards look terrible as well, which kind of makes me sad because I picked them to do better, but also kind of makes me feel happy because it's the Wizards and bring back the rivalry that was the Wizards versus the Cavs. And the Cavs are better than the Wizards for sure. I'm willing to say that now. And, that's where my headspace is.
I don't know. The Wizards, you look at, they lost Thomas Bryant. Westbrook's been in and out of the lineup. Bradley Beal has continued to be sensational. They've had the whole COVID thing. So there's been a lot of weird things that have gone on with the Wizards. I'm not so sure that Scottie Brooks is a great NBA coach. And you combine all that and you kind of throw it into the pot and mix it all up. And, you end up getting what you have now, which is basically a disastrous season for the Wizards. I think the question for the Wizards, there's really only one at this point. Are they going to trade Beal at some point during the season? And if they trade Beal, then what do you do with Westbrook? Because, maybe Westbrook's happy to just be there, and if he gets back healthy and he just has the ball in his hands 46 out of the 48 minutes a game, he gets to do whatever he wants. Maybe. But do they end up trading Russell Westbrook as well as trading Bradley Beal? If they trade one, are they going to trade the other?
I don't know. Do you think there's teams that are going to want them at this point?
I don't know who wants Russell Westbrook. I can't imagine anybody, but everybody would want Bradley Beal. I'd love to see Bradley Beal end up in Denver. I think if somehow Bradley Beal could end up in Denver and you didn't have to give up Murray, and obviously you're not giving up Jokic, but if you could somehow have your big three be Beal, Jamal Murray, and Jokic, suddenly that team becomes a real, real threat to win the title. I don't know if that'll happen, and obviously they'd have to give up some of their depth, but, that would be a good team. That'd be a nice trifecta of guys to throw out on the floor against the Lakers.
Yep, I agree.
Anything else?
I don't have anything else.
All right, we banged it out. That was pretty good. Please make sure you check out our other shows on the Hoopheads Pod Network. We have a bunch of NBA team-focused pods. If you are out there and you think you could do better than us, by all means, come and join us and create your own NBA team-focused pod here on the Hoopheads Pod Network. We enjoy bringing you fresh NBA content. We've got some more interviews coming up this week. So we'll be back on Friday with an interview with Christopher Spartz, who is the creator of the Swish Shooting Sleeve. And he also has a really, really interesting background in the game of basketball. So watch for that episode coming on Friday. We appreciate you joining us for our weekly NBA episode. Thank you very much for joining us, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.